In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on October 13th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
Well, on such a hectic day as October 12th, 2015 was, as we were recording on this day, and we are recording literally 1 hour after the news of Steve Spurrier's retiring. Yeah, I'm fine, I guess, and I'm a bit sad, but hey.
Yeah.
Anyways, on the show today, we're going to talk about Mississippi State's win over Troy. Woo. A 45-17 victory over the mighty Trojans, and they don't have any Trojan horses. Because I was corrected Ethan on the last show that they don't have Trojan horses. We're also going to talk about our SEC, the SEC stuff, and the two games that I am so glad that Ethan decided to pick because I have decided to pick because I have a one-game lead on Ethan Lee in our pick'em contest, the first time since week one that I've had a lead.
It's okay. I'm going to take it back this week and then run it through the rest of the season.
I've waited 6 long weeks to finally have a lead.
So I've had the lead for 6 weeks. You've had it for 2?
Yes.
Okay.
But who's leading right now is all that matters.
What really matters is who leads at the end.
Well, you're right, but we're not in the end. That's looking forward. You know, Ethan, I'll tell you this. When you said the 6 week to 2 week thing, I was going to make an Astros reference, but I was about to.
No!
I would have probably.
No!
I would have probably.
No!
I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to leave. Should I leave, Ethan? Should I just hang up and maybe do the show
for
another
time? For those that don't pay attention to the Astros, what happened today was a 6-2 run lead for the Astros in the AL Division Series. Astros haven't been in the playoffs for the past 10 years. We've been horrible. Back in it now, and it's awesome. And they had a 6-2 lead in the eighth. And as every Mississippi State fan who paid attention to baseball this past year, they can understand what just happened because, you know, we ended up losing 9-6. You have a 4 freaking run lead, and the bullpen blows it, and a lot of bad words were said, and I wasn't even able to watch the game too, so that's probably a good thing. I was on the road, and I was getting text updates from my girlfriend and from a friend, and it's probably a good thing I wasn't able to watch it, honestly.
You know, Ethan, I wish I were with you while the Astros were doing that, because I could have just prepped some popcorn and was just throwing it in my mouth, one by one, while you rage. But I'm sorry.
Now we have to go back to Kansas City, and now we have to go face them there, and...
I'm sorry, Ethan. I'm sorry, okay? I apologize.
It's fine.
I'm very sorry. And now we started the show off on a bad note. Ethan's in a bad mood now. That was my fault.
I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a depressed state of shock.
But, Ethan, to cheer you up, the Grizzlies are the 3-0 in the preseason after beating the Cavs. Woo!
And they're gonna go like 0-82 or something like that.
No, we're winning it all. We're gonna beat the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. Then beat the Cavs in the NBA Finals. We're going all the way. Going all the way.
Whatever. Let's, yeah. Let's talk about stuff that's relevant to the show.
Yes. Mississippi State defeated Troy 45-17 in what you said before the show, Ethan, was a signature Dan Mullen blowout. Something, Mississippi State had a 38-0 lead at halftime and won and only scored 7 points in the second half. And
I mean, the offense only scored 31 points and didn't even get above 300 yards, but that's also, you know, a function of field position and a lot going into the, you know, just this nature of this game where the offense didn't have to do much, which is a good thing.
Mississippi State had a 14-0 lead less than 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott only played like two or three series.
And that's because he had a stomach virus, which is not fun at all.
No, and it's best to go ahead and get him off the field. You know, get him the start because he deserves another career win, start win. I don't remember what that stat is called exactly right now. I just took a nap. I'm kind of out of it. But, you know, go ahead and chalk up another win for Dak and get guys like Fitzgerald and Staley plenty of experience. So,
and I'm just going to grab the passing stats here. Nick Fitzgerald went 6-for-7, but only with 6 completions. He had 141 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dak went 3-for-6 for 74 yards and a touchdown, and Elijah Staley went 1-for-2 for negative 4 yards.
Which is interesting because, you know, Fitzgerald is allegedly the better runner between Staley and Fitz, and granted, Staley wasn't given much in the way of passing. But, you know, he looked, you know, Fitz looked very, very sharp from what we saw, just in every aspect of the game. The quarterback battle is going to be interesting. I've already said that I personally think it'll be between Damian Williams and Fitz, just by nature of Williams got the most experience. He understands the playbook better than anybody else, and that's a topic for another show. You obviously think it'll be between Fitz and Staley and what we've talked about. So it'll be a fun one to watch. I tweeted it out that we've only seen progression at the quarterback Dan Mullen. It's a progression that's been unrivaled by any other time in Mississippi State history. And with each quarterback, you know, being at the time one of the greatest, because, you know, before Dak, Tyler Russell was actually on the trajectory to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback. And nobody thought, oh, you know, Dak Prescott, yeah, he's going to be good, but we just don't know. Now we have Dak Prescott and everybody's chomping the bits of, you know, just look at what else we have. Look at these other quarterbacks. Like, it'll be fun to watch.
Certainly. And defensively, I want to give credit to one Gary Green. Or Jerry Green.
Yeah.
Gary Green.
I think it's Gary.
Yeah, pretty sure. Who had 11 total tackles. Our leading tackle, the freshman linebacker, had 11 total tackles.
How many did Richie Brown have?
Richie Brown. I just got off of the defensive stats. Let me find him.
Okay.
Richie Brown, where are you? He had 4 total tackles.
It wouldn't surprise. I don't remember seeing him much beyond the second quarter, but maybe that's just me not paying attention. I don't know.
So, yeah. That's anything else you want to add on this game? Ethan?
There's really not much to talk about. It was a signature. I've seen tweets about mulling and comments on certain articles and just people complaining about mulling, and he's got 50 wins.
He's
got the highest winning percentage of any Mississippi State coach since 19 whatever.
Since Alan McKean.
48.
Yeah, Alan McKean had a 690 something, but other than that, no. Or maybe even 700.
So, and then he's, what, 3 seasons at most away from taking Jackie Sherrill's total wins? So, for everyone, you know, he potentially 2 seasons, depending on what happens the rest of this season. You never know.
So,
and so,
pretty much...
We can... The formula works. Yeah, it's not always the prettiest. But people, you know, Bama fans complain about just every little thing over there and look at everything they have to go with. So, you know, don't complain about Mullining because it's one of the best things Mississippi State has ever had in terms of coaching processes. You know, when we get up big at half, there's really no reason, like some other schools in this state, just continue to pile it on. So, yeah, I am pro Mullining because it could lead us to having, you know, seeing Dan Mullen become the single greatest Mississippi State coach ever.
Certainly. And so pretty much for the people that think that Dan Mullen should get fired, because we've seen a lot of that for whom the Cowboys post Facebook comments, you're stupid.
Yeah.
So Dan Mullen to 50 wins, the third winningest coach in Mississippi State history, third coach in Mississippi State history to 50 wins, and I hate old Mississippi State Ole Miss obsession. I hate that, but I do want to shout out one thing to the Ole Miss fan that said that since we only have three coaches with 50 wins, it shows how much the Mississippi State program is terrible. Ole Miss only has two.
Ayo! Ayo!
So let's go ahead and move on to the SEC stuff. Ole Miss killed New Mexico State. That's nothing surprising. Is it, Ethan? Is that anything, anything surprising? Anything remotely interesting there?
They're going to lose to Memphis, though.
Because apparently Chad Kelly is, apparently their program is back on track, and Chad Kelly is back on track.
Apparently. He's Bo Wallace 2.0. He's thrown, what, four picks to the likes of Vanderbilt, New Mexico State, and then who's that other school? Some other cupcake at the beginning of the year. Fresno State, yeah. Yeah. Because when you throw four picks to those teams, you're truly a world beater at quarterback. He has all the potential in the world. I've said it before that if he can be consistent, they can potentially contend for a national title. We saw how consistent he was in, you know, the Swamp. He just wasn't that, he wasn't spectacular. He wasn't that great. And, you know, if you're trying to convince me that he's more consistent than Bo Wallace, well, yes, I would say so. But he's not a huge upgrade. Not right now. So.
So our next game was... I love doing that.
I know you do.
Tennessee beat Georgia. Tennessee actually beat somebody. Good. They actually beat somebody good.
But look at it this way. We were both horribly wrong.
No, but you know what, Ethan? You know what I told you? I wouldn't be surprised if this game is close. I told you that. Too bad it wasn't on air. Too bad the public didn't hear that. But I told you before the show on Thursday, I wouldn't be surprised if this game is close. But I picked Georgia.
Yeah, I picked Georgia huge. Because, you know, they started out great.
24-3 lead. Start out great. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah.
Chubb. That injury made me throw up. That was disgusting.
It's with Georgia's track record of having great running backs injured, I don't know how their recruiting is going to go. Because you had Todd Gurley, you had Keith Marshall, and now Nick Chubb. And Keith Marshall's career never got back on track. Mm-hmm. So we hope the best for Nick Chubb, but man.
But he'll be out for the year. I believe it's a torn PCL.
I haven't really looked into it. I just know it's not the ACL.
But according to the Florida trainer, which actually tweeted this, that a PCL tear is nothing better than an ACL tear.
Then, gross. He's got so much talent, too. We were talking about, you know, the potential for guys like Leonard Fournette to get injured because of how many carries they get. And this is what happens. You know, it's part of the game, but it's also a function of when you get that guy that many carries all the time, these things happen. And sincerely hope it doesn't happen to anybody else.
Certainly. So, congratulations to our friend Charlie Burris and his, and the Nash Greers of the world. His Nash Greer folks. That's a long story. You're going to have to look at his Twitter account for that, at Charlie_Burris, for those who don't follow him.
He actually wrote a piece about it for the Southeasterner.
I didn't see that.
He just put it up.
I need to see that.
He just got it up. I haven't read it yet. I just know he wrote a piece about it, and I'm really excited to read it
also,
after the show is done.
Ethan, I forgot one thing that I'm just looking at my Twitter timeline that we should have talked about in the Troy preview. Congratulations to, or the recap, congratulations to Ryan Brown being named the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Yes, I'm glad I remembered that. He had 7 total tackles, 3 solo, 4 assisted, 3.5 tackles for loss for 38 yards and 1 sack.
Nice.
So, back to the games. Josh Dobbs for Tennessee here. Named SEC Offensive Player of the Week. He is not an offensive lineman, so he wouldn't have been Offensive Lineman of the Week. That's my bad. He went 25 for 42 for 312 yards and 3 touchdowns and had 118 rushing yards from 18 carries and 2 touchdowns. That's not too bad.
From what I understand, he was supposed to be the next Dak Prescott.
Quoted by Gary Danielson 87 times over the course of that broadcast.
Quoted by everybody. You can quote me on that.
Certainly.
And he's finally showing the potential that he has, because he's a freaking astrophysics whatever major. He's a genius. And then you put that sort of athletic potential with that brain, and then you get these sort of results. And just hats off to him.
So
that's incredible.
Our next game to talk about is, we probably wouldn't have talked about this game if it weren't for the news that happened these past hour to an hour and a half, but LSU defeated South Carolina 45-24 in the final game of the career of one Steve Spurrier, which I was not expecting to say in this show.
No.
So, Steve Spurrier retiring effective immediately. The news was reported first by, what's his name? Let me find it. Thayer Evans of Sports Illustrated. And when he first reported it, we weren't expecting him to be retiring immediately. We thought, oh, well, he'll be coaching for the rest of the year. And then Football Scoop is where I first saw it, saying that they are going to be announcing their interim head coach on Wednesday. So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Steve Spurrier. Well, before we talk about more about Spurrier, let's just go ahead and dive in this game really quickly. Brennan Harris actually had a good game through the air.
But if you remember, a certain Georgia quarterback had a pretty good game through the air against the same Gamecock defense to the tune of like 24 out of 25 for a billion yards. So, and he hasn't done anything since.
South Carolina's defense is just not good.
Yeah. When Grayson Lambert and Brandon Harris are picking you apart, then there's something wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
LSU has 2 good running backs, and both Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis.
That's not fair.
Who Darius Geis rushed for 161 yards and a touchdown from 16 carries. Leonard Fournette's Heisman train continues to roll along. Choo-choo! Having 20 carries for 158 yards and a touchdown.
And then who's this third guy who had, 10 carries for 61 yards
Darryl
and 2 touchdowns?
Darryl Williams.
This just isn't... The LSU running back farm is, in harvest again. It's just... Not fair, man. Not fair.
So, I guess, I don't know how much you want to talk about Steve Spurrier, but
I want him on the SEC network forever.
Yes, I know you do, and I really do want to as well, but I think he'll probably retire and retire on some golf course in Gainesville or Columbia or somewhere. And
that's a waste of his potential with some.
No, Ethan. Like for Steve Spurrier, it's the dream, buddy. It is the dream.
Yeah.
But Steve Spurrier, thank you. I know you're not listening, but thank you anyways.
Oh wow! Wish we could have gotten him on the show.
If he becomes an SEC Network analyst, we're going for him. I mean, why not?
I mean, we have to.
Well, obviously. I want a picture of Steve Spurrier and I before I kick the bucket. And he may kick the bucket before I do, but before either of us kicks the bucket, I want a picture with Steve Spurrier. I've already gotten a picture with Kirk Herbstreit and a somewhat kind of picture with Paul Feinbaum. So Steve Spurrier would be the cherry on top.
Okay.
So, Alabama barely beat Arkansas, and Brett Bielema made himself look like a fool. Did you see that, Ethan?
Oh, the flop? Flopping job? That's a flop that would make James Harden proud.
Ooh. Dang. Making.
I mean, I'm a big fan of James Harden.
I know you
are. It's effective. It's effective in the NBA, but it's... I mean, it was so clear that was a flop.
And then he celebrated...
The dancing? I never want to see that man dance again. No.
I mean, he and Paul Feinbaum danced on the same day.
And, yeah. That, no.
So, other than that, not... But I guess we'll dive into Florida-Missouri just really quickly for one reason. It is the final game of Will Grier's year at Florida. As he was,
isn't it like a calendar year?
A calendar year. He will be returning to the Florida football team on October 12th, 2016.
You know, if he could only beat out Treon Harris via performance-enhancing drugs, they might actually be in pretty good hands with Treon Harris.
Certainly.
So. And he didn't have a great game against Mizzou. He went 20 of 33, 208 yards. Zero touchdowns.
Certainly. Michigan slaughtered Northwestern 38-0. You know, I'll go ahead and tell you this. I predicted that game was going to be better than Cal-Utah.
No, Cal-Utah was phenomenal.
Yeah, Cal beat Utah 34-28, and it gave us one of the worst first down attempts in the history of college football when Jared Goff decided to jump over two about 6'4 Utah defensive linemen and hit a brick wall. And Jared Goff threw five interceptions. That game was a 34-28 final, and I think there were eight turnovers, if not more.
Yeah. Some of the people that the listeners that follow me, you know, I follow a guy named Strohsfan.
Yes, and, oh yes, you do.
Yeah, he was saying Jared Goff is like Bo Wallace, but he was saying that in a good way, because he's a pretty big fan of Bo Wallace.
Which
for whatever reason,
I don't
reason.
Understand.
I don't know either. I don't want him to ever quarterback for the Texans, but I just but. You know, if you're comparing guys to Bo Wallace and you really want a Bo Wallace 2.0, then a guy that throws five interceptions in a game where they only lose by a touchdown, like, that's the perfect Bo Wallace comparison. My apologies to Chad Kelly. Like, this is Bo Wallace 2.0.
Certainly.
So
that'll wrap it up for the SEC and other college football talk, and I have a one-game lead again, may I remind you. And we'll make our picks on Wednesday. But we will wrap up the show with, we have questions.
Really good questions.
Ooh, we have four questions from the large dog trademark, Mr. Vanderlip at KT Vanderlip on Twitter. Member of hashtag Team Visor, by the way. And Steve Spurrier.
Which, wait. Let's pause on this Team Visor stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, would there ever be a perfect guy to replace Steve Spurrier as the captain of Team Visor, as, you know, looking over at Dan Mullen, who,
you know,
really could fit that mold of just the obnoxious coach with such a strong personality.
Certainly.
Obnoxious in a good way, because we love his personality.
I mean, Steve Spurrier always made shots at Georgia and Florida State and Tennessee. Dan Mullen makes shots at Ole Miss, calling him Northern Miss in that school. Where's the visor? But you know what? You know what's probably going to happen?
What?
Hugh Freeze is going to all of a sudden stick his little head in there and say, no, I'm the real king of Team Visor.
Does he wear a visor?
He does.
He wears a visor.
He does.
Well, he's going to be gone to Southern Cal or Texas after this year. So does it.
And then once again, Ole Miss fans will be like, Hugh Freeze got hired by a better school than before Dan Mullen did. Ha!
Which I legitimately think
they would. Dan Mullen would say that.
I legitimately think Dan Mullen, at this point, you know, he's had his shots at bigger schools. Last year, everybody was calling for him. I think he might be around for a few years until he just gets tired of coaching.
Dan Mullen, I think Bob Karskadden said this, that Dan Mullen doesn't seem like someone that would coach into his 70s, like Spurrier or Paterno or something like that. And he probably would become like some politician.
Yeah, you know, I'd be cool with it if he wanted to do that. And, you know, I could, not necessarily political office, but president of Mississippi State, I could see him in that role just because of the mind that he has.
Possibly. And if he does want to become a politician and he wants to do it in Mississippi, he will fail because you know that every single Ole Miss fan in the state of Mississippi would vote against him.
He would have to do it somewhere like Starkville.
Or his home state of New Hampshire.
Yes. He would not be a good politician. Like, he couldn't run for mayor.
Certainly. So, question one from the large dog trademark, Mr. Vanderlip. Can we stop blaming...
How did he get the trademark?
It's an emoji.
It's an emoji?
It's an emoji.
Perfect.
Dan Mullen has a trademark after his name.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, you should. You should pay attention to these things, Ethan. Question one. Can we stop blaming the running back solely for the lack of a running game?
I agree. I have been on that sort of thought process this entire season, that it's not the running back's fault.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think behind an offensive line of like Bama, you could see guys like, you know, Shumpert, who... people are unfairly calling him concrete shoes or stuff like that. Like, cut that crap out. Like, I think Shumpert could have probably 500 yards at Bama right now.
Certainly. I agree with Ethan there, by the way. Question two.
But I do think it's a blend of the running back and offensive line. Just, we don't have a running back that can't hit the holes in the way that this offensive line really provides, and this offensive line just doesn't provide the greatest of holes for the running back to go through. So, you know, you just have a better pass blocking offensive line this year than you do run blocking.
Certainly.
Those that wanted more of an answer there.
Question two. With Saturday's game being a stripe out, what color shirt should I wear if I'm hoping to sneak into the next section over because the seats are better? I have a solution.
Is this solution like the Kansas State football jersey thing?
I saw that, but no, this is not that. If the section you're hoping to sneak into is maroon, wear a maroon shirt and a white visor. If the section that you're trying to sneak into is white, wear a white shirt and a maroon visor. Just sort of alternate.
Yeah, I just think the solution here is to go with, you know, that football setup.
Or, hey, if you have a maroon and white striped shirt, why the heck not?
What's the weather going to be on?
Let me take a look, Ethan, because I have a weather app on my phone with Starkville on it, and I'm going to take a look.
So do I.
You're probably going to find it faster.
68 and 43 are the highs and lows.
It's going to be sunny. So it's going to be a bit nippy.
So what I would say is bring like a hoodie or something that is one color and then have like layers under you, like under the hoodie, that are another color. And then, you know, your primary section, you have a white hoodie or if you're in a white section. And then as the game progresses and people leave because it's going to be another blowout and it's homecoming, people are going to go junctioning.
We will talk about that on Thursday, or at least I will talk about that on Thursday.
Yeah, the Manny Diaz Bowl.
They lost to Northwestern State.
As, like, the game progresses, you take off your white hoodie to have like a maroon long sleeve shirt or so on, and then just hop sections. Bam.
Boom, man. Boom.
It's finally football weather. Like, it's great.
All right. Question three. Looking forward... Now, Ethan, I don't know the last... Well, actually, I'll read the question before saying this. Looking forward, with the Kentucky game being a blackout, how concerned are you about what the uniforms may look like? Ethan, did you attend Mississippi... You didn't attend Mississippi State when we wore the black uniforms in 2009 and 2010, did you? And 2011.
Whoa, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you're not that old. In 2009, we wore the black uniforms against Alabama and got... And
bad choice. Got never wear slaughtered. Black uniforms against Alabama. Georgia's made that mistake
in 2010, we wore black uniforms against LSU and got slaughtered. In 2011, we wore black uniforms against Louisiana Tech and beat them in double overtime. If we wear black,
I watched that game.
You did?
I actually watched that one. Yeah.
Well,
that,
I'm sorry. I'm stunned that you decided to attend Mississippi State after watching that.
No. I didn't. Well, yeah.
I was not there because I was on my elementary school 6th grade father-son trip in St. Louis.
I'm jealous that your elementary school did stuff like that.
Yeah, it was fun stuff.
So that sounds awesome.
It was a 3-day weekend trip, and I'm glad that we went because we missed that game.
Because the coolest thing my elementary school ever did was like a trip to the zoo in like kindergarten.
Did you go to Bucky's?
No.
Well, that's unfortunate for you, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure if Bucky's was around at that point.
It's new? It's that? I thought this was like it's a tradition.
Well, I mean, there are some locations that are around forever, but I don't know how long forever is. I don't know when they got started.
All right.
But yeah, it is a relatively newer tradition. I believe it started sometime within my lifetime.
Alrighty then. But to answer your question, Mr. Vanderlip, I know we're going to wear black jerseys, I saw someone on Twitter say that he's praying to wear black jerseys, I don't know who it was. Why? If we wear black jerseys, I am legitimately thinking of picking Kentucky. Simply because we're wearing black jerseys. I am that superstitious about those jerseys.
Hey.
What?
Stop it. Just stop.
Those jerseys are bad luck. We beat Louisiana Tech by in double overtime, even.
Yeah, and 2011 was not a good year.
No, it wasn't. But it's the jersey. It was the jersey. It was the jerseys. It were the jerseys.
No, the jerseys. I'm excited about these jerseys.
Oh my God, Ethan.
I will buy like 17 of them.
Like you wanted to buy the FTSUN shirts?
I did want to buy that, but only for the purpose of like framing it in my room.
It's a collector's item.
It's a collector's item.
It certainly is a collector's item, and they're probably all burnt, and they're probably
Scott Strickland probably incinerated all of them.
Yeah, they're buried in the ground somewhere. Well, they're probably in some time capsule. If they're in a time capsule, Ethan, you should go on a mission to dig everywhere.
Carve up this campus.
And then you will probably be expelled because you
damaged the campus. If I get expelled, for the purpose of finding these warm-ups, I feel like I could sell it to MSU Mafia members for enough money.
They would pay about $1 billion for that shirt. They would give any amount of money. They would decapitate themselves to give you that. And that means they would kill themselves to give you the shirt, give them the shirt.
Question four.
Is there another word for synonym? Oh my God, this is deep.
This is a heck of a question. He's asked questions like this before.
This is a heck of a question. I'm going to look up a synonym for synonym. I'm going to go to a thesaurus. I'm going to a thesaurus.
I'm going to Google.
You shut up. I'm going to the thesaurus.
Thesaurus.com.
No, I don't have a stutter, by the way.
Equivalent. What's a metonym?
Never heard of a metonym. Okay.
This might be something new.
Yeah, that's exactly what's on here, too.
Metonym.
An antonym of synonym is an antonym.
Okay, so a metonym is a word, name, or expression used as a, this is a synonym for synonym. Why have we never heard of metonyms?
Mr. Vanderloop, I would like to thank you, because you are helping us learn some new things today. We are learning what a metonym is.
For example, Washington is a metonym for the federal government of the U.S. Or, you know, for example, soiled is a metonym for pooping your pants.
Yes, you're bringing up soiled. You are bringing up soiled again. What's with you and poop, Ethan? That is a genuine question. What is with you and poop?
You remember that penned tweet about how there? I don't have an obsession.
You started your obsession with poop because of that tweet.
Yes, I don't have an obsession.
You are obsessed. Some Mississippi State fans are obsessed with Ole Miss as much as you are obsessed with poop.
That's really not much of an obsession then. Honestly, like...
The MSU Mafia... Well, then, let's take a look at this. Is the MSU Mafia obsessed with Ole Miss? And there are Mafia members listening, so you better keep your words pretty... You better keep quiet down here.
Basically, I had a pinned tweet at one point.
You're not...
And if the MSU Mafia members want to come at me, then have at it. I mean, it can't be less entertaining than what... Charlie Burris has gone through today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stroh's fan, but what Charlie Burris went through today was the greatest moment in Twitter history.
Yeah.
He and Nash Greer went at it, and Nash Greer's girl tweet fan thing, tween girl fans.
Which, they're worse than, like, the Beliebers, just because this guy is famous because of Vine. Bieber, at least, is a musician.
Nash Greer is famous... Because of nothing. He has no talent.
Because of Vine.
He has no talent.
Vine.
He
makes 6 seconds. Well, they're like 6.5 second videos.
Yeah.
And they're not even... Like, there are
they're
some out there
funny.
That are interesting.
They're not
like
funny.
Like the Ebby family. Like, they're funny. The Ebby family is funny. Nash Greer, I just... Maybe it's... I don't know. That's a teenage girl thing. Preteen to teenage girl. Whatever. But back to this pinned tweet that I used to have. My girlfriend made me get rid of it, so shout out to her.
What?
She was tired of seeing it.
You got rid of that tweet. Really?
Yeah. Well, I unpinned it.
Does your girlfriend listen to the show?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
Yeah, no. The story behind this pinned tweet was I used to work at a summer camp, and I feel like we have time for me to say this, right?
Yeah, you should probably make it quick though.
Okay, I used to work at a summer camp, and just a Boy Scout summer camp, and kids are weird at these Boy Scout summer camps. Just like they do these crazy things, and this one kid, like I'm walking along this path, and this one kid just steps out of a porta potty and is like, "Hey, mister, my poop is orange. Is that normal? Should I be concerned that my poop is orange?" And I'm like 17 or 18 at this time. I was 18. And I'm just like stunned. Like, what do I do? And my girlfriend made me take down the tweet about that.
How old did you say that kid was?
He was like 12.
So that kid's my age?
He would be like 14 now. 14, 15. Yes, he would be your age.
What a day to be alive for me. For my kind. So, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. You know, I just wanted to tell you that Mr. Vanderloop question about synonyms turned into a conversation about poop.
You accused me of being obsessed with poop.
You are obsessed with poop. You send me 80,000...
I am not
your poop emojis that you sent me have
okay,
literally made my phone freeze. I had to shut down my phone. I had to restart my phone because of your dang poop emojis.
I love how Mr. Vanderlip actually tweeted you a poop emoji one time. That was pretty great.
Was it really great? Was it really actually great? Do you really truly
yes.
believe that was great?
So that's all for this episode of from the podcast.
Ethan, you end the show. You ask me if I have any final thoughts, and you win the show today. Because I don't feel like you bring up already, your poop emojis. And
we've already done the final thoughts segment, Daniel. And that's all for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls.
But I haven't said any final thoughts. This is unfair.
For Daniel Black,
this is freaking unfair. This is blasphemy. I rebel against this establishment.
Thank you for listening, and goodbye, everybody.